listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. You are going to hear the word rideables more often in cities across the country. So a rideable is a jump bike, a scooter, or some other form of alternative transportation that isn't being regulated by the State Department of Motor Vehicles, in this case, the California Vehicle Code. And that means it's up to cities to establish the rules for regulating these rideables. That's exactly the process Sacramento is in the midst of. In the studio to discuss this with me is Jennifer Donlan-Wyant. She is program specialist with the Public Works Department for the City of Sacramento. Good to have you back on the program, Jennifer.
Good morning, Beth.
Also with us is Russell Rawlings. He's the director of advocacy services for Resources for Independent Living. Hi, Russell.
Hello. Good morning.
Glad to have you in the conversation. And CAP Radio's senior editor Nick Miller is here. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Beth.
So let's start with the big framing of this process. And this is part of Sacramento's growth and transition.
It is. Shared rideables. And these are anything from the electric scooters that you're seeing that sort of parachuted into our city last week. You've seen them in San Diego, Oakland, other cities throughout the world. I was in Mexico City and they had these electric scooters zigzagging through town. So they're really sort of transforming how we move around in urban areas. But at the same time, they're introducing new challenges for local governments. What do we do about these things? How can we make them safe? I think the big issues, and I don't know if the panel would agree, are safety, parking, and equity. But I think there's other challenges. And right now, Sacramento, the city of Sacramento, is in the process of amending its policies and its ordinance on how these electric scooters and these electric bikes are going to operate. And it's an interesting time.
Jennifer, jump in. How equipped was the city to deal with us? And did we get the bikes and the scooters before we had all the regulations in place?
Well, we actually came in first about a year ago with our first ordinance regulating shared rideables. But this was at the birth of the shared scooters coming. We only had dockless bikes at that time. And so we had something in place, but we've had a lot of time to learn. We've seen what happened in other cities like Oakland, San Jose, Santa Monica, San Diego. And then we also heard from our communities about what our needs are. So I think we're actually in a pretty good place where we didn't experience the chaos that other cities had and are having a chance to learn and implement some really healthy policies to regulate public health and safety.
Although in the process of the public comment, there was a comment by council member Steve Hansen. He talked about the rollout that happened with the jump bikes. That was sort of the phase one of the rideables. So just for a reflection on a council member's experience, let's listen to Steve Hansen.
It was really unfun, particularly for my office, when Bike Share launched, because we became the complaint department for jump. And because the city was so active in the process of siting, planning, and all of that, and I've made it very clear at this committee and in conversations with everyone that that is not how I want to live my life, getting every complaint about a misparked scooter or a bike, somebody riding on a sidewalk. We have staff and processes for that. So I think this proposal does help achieve that.
Is this a bigger issue, or is this to you the growing pains of change, Jennifer?
Well, I think in part is the growing pain of change. Having dockless shared devices is new to everybody, and we're learning as we go. While Councilmember Hansen's office did receive a good number of complaints, it was a new object and a new way of travel that folks had to get used to. The number of complaints have gone down, but we are very careful. We don't want our policymakers to receive the complaints. We have staff to handle that. And with our new regulations moving forward, our goal is that we set up processes to address these challenges, such as devices being left on the sidewalks blocking accessible paths of travel.
Nick, in reporting on this, which is getting higher attention, the sort of fusses and dispute about where the bikes are and are you getting fined and are you in the boundaries and what are the details versus safety? How is the public, the walking public, the public in vehicles interacting?
It's a good question. You know, these bikes are red. They're larger than a normal bike.
Very bright red.
And they arrived in a very new way about a year ago. And I think their arrival sort of amplified conversations that we were already having about cycling and safety and, oh, do we have enough areas or places to park our bikes in the city? And, oh, people are riding on their sidewalks in Midtown, and what should we do about that? So it just, I think, you know, elevated or amplified that conversation. you'll see a lot of business owners, a lot of people who are Midtown residents, longstanding residents, you know, they complain about safety and all these things. And I think the city's new amended ordinance is going to be a little more aggressive about that. And I think Jennifer can talk about just the parking aspect of it, where you're allowed to leave these bikes now and how the city is going to enforce that, because it's no secret that sometimes you'll be turning a corner in Midtown and boom, there's a big bright red bike in front of you and there's a safety concern with that. Or, you know, you turn the corner and there's two riding at you. So I think the city is aware of this and the new amended ordinance has very specific ways to address that.
That's right, Nick. So there were two things that we heard loudly about through the jump rollout. One, the devices not parked properly. And so the new ordinance gives our parking enforcement officers the ability to cite the operators for improperly parked devices that are blocking accessible paths of travel. We heard loud and clear from many of our communities, including our disabilities communities, that we don't want the sidewalks blocked. So we've, with the new ordinance, we're giving power, the authority for parking enforcement officers to cite. And then with the education piece, riding on the sidewalks is legal. Riding bicycles on the sidewalks is legal. Riding scooters is not. But we would encourage the pedestrian space to remain the pedestrian space. So we are partnering with Jump, and we'll partner with other operators when they come in. The city gives a free monthly urban biking and scooting class to teach folks about their rights and responsibilities. And we're hoping more and more folks learn that so they're not biking on the sidewalks or scooting on the sidewalks.
That's Jennifer Donlan Wyant with the City of Sacramento. Also, you heard from Nick Miller, Cap Radio senior editor. We are talking about the process of Sacramento regulating and bringing in jump bikes, rideable scooters, other alternative modes of transportation. So let's bring Russell Rawlings into this conversation, because Russell, with the Independent Living Resources for Independent Living organization, you have a vested interest in this, probably fall more under that umbrella of equity on this topic.
Yeah, I think equity, you know, equity means a lot of things, right? And that's, we have to realize that sidewalks are a form of transportation. They're part of that transportation infrastructure. And how we share them and use them with these new rideables is really important. And, you know, I think one of the things that's been concerning is that these conversations are happening with very little engagement on the front end. It seems like all of the policy and everything else gets worked out after. So there'll be a pilot rollout, and then we figure everything out. And it would be, I think, very helpful to engage communities on the front end, especially in regards to access. I've noticed that jump bikes have been not only on the sidewalk, but in front of places of business and just blocking egress and, you know, ability to get in and out. I think that we're going to have to start thinking more about the pedestrian part of our city, you know, and how access fundamentally works. So,
Jennifer,
in that regard, the rideables are forcing us to do more work in thinking about these things.
Do you want to respond, Jennifer, to rollout first, regulation second?
Well, I think we're learning as we go. Dockless bikes have only been around for about 18 to 19 months. Scooters have only been around for 15 months. So we're learning as we go. It is a private business operating in the city, so that gives us some additional challenges of working through. But we definitely want to work with all of our communities in developing the process for how we regulate. We took our most recent revision to our Disability Advisory Commission and are trying to get as much feedback, because we do want to respond to our community's needs and get as much input at first as possible.
Russell, you travel most of the time in a motorized wheelchair.
Right.
What kind of interaction have you had on the sidewalks or crossing the street with jump bikes? Scooters are pretty brand new, so maybe not so much.
Yeah, I have yet to see a scooter. So I hear that there are only 50 of them, so that may be why. But I do work downtown. I, you know, in terms of the jump bikes interacting while I'm traveling, honestly, I've found that for the most part that people treat them like they are bikes, and that works pretty well for me. However, again, the parking, I think, is the part that's been the most challenging. And I don't know if that's, I think, honestly, if I had to, it's interesting that they included a kickstand as part of the standard equipment on the bikes, because otherwise I think people tend to say, oh, I need to park this because it's got the lock, you know. So they're being properly locked up and placed most of the time.
I don't think scooters have locks yet, do
they? They don't, no, but they do have a kickstand.
Okay. I want to add a comment from another council member. This is Eric Guerra. He's the vice mayor, in fact, right now. And he's speaking to what you're talking about, Russell, and this concern about where these are, who has access to them. So here's Eric Guerra.
Particularly down in the further south of the area where we have very limited transportation, there's only one, essentially, one major bus line that services folks. Shared rideables can produce an option to getting more people to the bus line. If you have to walk 2 miles to get to the bus line, that's not an accessible bus line, even if that bus line is coming every 15 minutes. So we have to figure out what is the first mile, last mile gap in an affordable way.
Nick, we've talked about safety and parking. So will you add that from a reporting perspective, how the conversation is about equity and accessibility to these rideables?
I think it's a process because these are private companies and we can't necessarily say, hey, Uber, hey, Jump, hey, Bird, go invest in this neighborhood, put scooters in this neighborhood. However, the new ordinance, if I understand correctly, has some sort of requirements about what are called opportunity areas or activating certain corridors or certain neighborhoods for what Councilmember Guerra's talking about, that first and last mile. And what's really makes me so curious about this is just sort of the evolution of this conversation about how we get around in Sacramento. I mean, we were on this program maybe 5 years ago, Beth, talking about streetcar and putting actual rail in the concrete and having a streetcar take people around through the grid. And now I think with the arrival of these shared rideables with these scooters and these bikes, we have to sort of reimagine whether that's going to be a viable transportation option. Are people going to even want to use that when they can hop on a scooter and go? Two, you know, 10 years ago, we were looking at a Sacramento urban core that didn't really have the mixed use development. And what I mean by mixed use is retail on the ground floor, people living on top, that sort of activated our sidewalks in ways that we Sacramento hasn't really seen. And, you know, and people are looking at their phones when they're walking and they're listening to devices. So these bikes and other shared rideables on the sidewalks are really, you know, impacting pedestrians and impacting people in different ways. So we're having to pretty much reimagine how people are going to move around in our urban core. And we're seeing that with the new bike lanes and we're seeing that with this new policy. But it is, we're really at the vanguard of something.
Russell, your center is one of almost 30 across the state. What's happening at other centers in other cities? How's this discussion going in other places?
I think it's going much like it is here. You know, definitely in the Bay Area, you know, some of these things were around a little bit earlier, but for the most part, I hear that it's all the same kind of conversation. The one thing that I think is not being heard or said nearly enough, though, is that it's not just about, you know, keeping our sidewalks, you know, accessible, but also what about opportunities for those who may not be able to access the product that Jump is providing, but might be able to access a more accessible product. There's a company, Access Leisure, that the city partners with that has some bikes that are more accessible for people that have certain mobility challenges. And I would really like to see some of these ideas about shareable or rideables get into that space as well and think about access in general.
It's funny that it's become a network. In West Sacramento, for example, you can go a certain distance on a Jump bike, but then there's a boundary, and then maybe you take a shuttle the rest of the way. In Sacramento, somebody might use a scooter for 1 mile or a mile and a half, but then take the bike 3 to 5 miles. So it's becoming a interesting, for some people complicated, but interesting network of a different kind of transportation system.
Well, we have to rethink how we move people. So I see my job at the city is figuring out how to move people and move people safely. And as we grow as a city, we can't continue to have folks traveling in their own cars by themselves. So how can we support moving people by other means? And this is one way of trying these out, of can bikes and scooters help move more people? And then, of course, getting to the equity piece of it, not just investing in downtown, but investing in our lower income areas where we have transit users who need to have access to transit. And I think with our new ordinance, we're going to help get at that and provide those options.
That's Jennifer Donlan Wyant. I'm also talking with Russell Rawlings and Nick Miller. Let's add the voice of a Midtown citizen. This is George Rea, and he often comments at city council meetings. And I think what you're going to hear here is just a raw expression of the experience of living in the midst of this change.
I'm a Midtown resident, been a longtime Midtown resident. I don't oppose the e-scooters, but as it is, jump bikes on the sidewalk in Midtown are a real problem. And I can tell you, donuts to dollars, we are going to have e-scooters on the sidewalk, even though it says it's supposed to be on the street. I want strict enforcement of the regulations. I mean, I'm going to start posting photographs of people when they're on their e-scooter on the sidewalk. It really is a problem with the jump bikes. I mean, I have to dodge them as it is, but e-scooters are going to be a lot faster, and you are going to have people hit by e-scooters. They were banned for a while in San Francisco. They moved over to Oakland. 60 of them ended up at the bottom of Lake Merritt because the population just got so irate with them. But it's the actors, unfortunately. The vehicle itself, great idea, but you're going to need strict enforcement.
There's a warning from a citizen, Jennifer.
We heard that loud and clear. We don't want our residents to be fearful to travel around our city. So we're approaching it with two different ways. One, with enforcement. So we can work on enforcing no scooting on sidewalks, parking in the correct places. And with our new ordinance, we will have the teeth to be able to do that. And then through education. So the city offers our free monthly urban biking and scooting class. And we're partnering with JUMP. So JUMP will offer a discount to its members to take our classes. So therefore, we're getting the word out. And JUMP is doing their own programming as well around that. I think if we combat this issue, both through education and enforcement, we will do a good job. And people have fear from what they saw in other cities. We're trying to be more proactive, learning from those experiences to avoid those challenges. It's not something that we want.
Nick, we heard from former Sacramento Bee reporter Hillary Abramson, and she had been hit by a bicyclist on the street. She was seriously injured. She subsequently filed a lawsuit. She's become quite an activist on this topic, and she pointed out that there is the report of an electric scooter death in Austin, Texas. Were you able to find out more about that?
I was. It occurred after midnight, around 1 in the morning. Apparently, the individual was hit by a vehicle while riding a scooter in the street. The individual on the scooter may have been going against traffic, which can be dangerous. I think that's reflective of just bigger concerns about moving around on bikes. You know, it's no secret that a lot of people in Sacramento are afraid to ride the bikes in the streets. However, we've seen a lot of our corridors activated with new bike lanes, I think on P and Q downtown, on 10th downtown, on J Street through Midtown, through the retail district. So I think the city is in some ways responding to that. The other thing that really interests me about this, now that we're having this conversation about, you know, people who are, you know, upset about the bikes or concerned about the sidewalks, is just there are a lot of haters of these devices out there. You know, George Rea, who we heard a clip from him, talked about how in Oakland they're throwing these scooters into Lake Merritt.
Right.
There's an account called Bird Graveyard, and Bird is one of the scooter companies. And it's an Instagram account where people just post pictures of them destroying these scooters or throwing them in trees or all sorts of things you wouldn't even think possible. And it actually has more followers than the actual official Bird company account. So there is this contingent out there that I think view these devices as sort of representative of a type of gentrification. And that may be because, you know, some of the users don't know how to use them well. They are parking them in the sidewalk, or they are riding them on the sidewalks, or leaving them in front of the entrance to a bar. And it's just, oh, here come these bikes, and they're coming into Midtown and displacing and gentrifying, and these people don't belong, and they're ruining this community that I've loved for decades. And I think that's why it's, you know, incumbent upon the city to just keep having that conversation and keep updating these regulations and keep educating people, because there, I think that does fuel the frustration when you're in San Diego or Oakland and then hundreds of these scooters parachute in, and, you know, it fuels that conversation about gentrification and displacement.
Russell, I don't hear you having that kind of frustration yet, or even opposition. It sounds like you're still open to how this might transition.
You know, again, I think given that we're not seeing just a massive influx of them being improperly used, you know, I do think that things are going along fairly well here in Sacramento. Like I said, there have been times when I've been frustrated and had to go around, or I've tried. The recommendation was to call 311, and that was a long and, you know, just difficult process, at least for me. And so I think really it's about figuring out how that accountability piece works and making sure that we can quickly and effectively address the issues when they come up, because they are going to come up. So, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic about the scooters. I don't know. I haven't seen any yet. So I do know that they – I've seen photos of – there was a frustrated wheelchair user in Austin, of all places, that has kind of gone semi-famous of her being completely blocked by three scooters that were just literally almost stacked up one on top of the other in the middle of the sidewalk. So I am concerned about the future of rideables, but I think so far Sacramento's done a pretty good job.
Okay, Jennifer, a final few seconds. There is an ordinance, but there are proposed changes too.
That is
some
correct.
Of the proposed changes include a reduction in fees too.
Correct. Well, the current ordinance, actually, the fees are not extraordinary. It's about $17,000 to bring in devices. But we're losing money at the city. We're basically subsidizing the private transit operators. So the new regulations include fees for full cost recovery so that we can provide the parking that is very needed for these devices, ensure public health and safety, get our parking enforcement officers the ability to cite, and then for us to monitor the program. I think that we'll learn as we go with scooters. Traffic safety is imperative for the city of Sacramento. It's why we have our Vision Zero program. And we put things in perspective. We have more people dying on our streets from traffic fatalities than we have homicides. And so we think about the scooters coming and the relative importance of that. We'll address that, and we'll address those safety issues. But ultimately, we want to move people and move people safely.
Thank you, all three of you, for this conversation. Russell Rawlings, Jennifer Donlan-Wyant, and Nick Miller. There's been much more discussion and coverage about this, so I'll point people to capradio.org for more background and more about the ordinances. But again, I really appreciate all of you joining us. When we all come from different viewpoints and can talk about it, I think there's a broader, faster understanding of what we're dealing with. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.